I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net. The race to make the smallest, fastest chips is arguably one that has no end in sight. Today's chip companies can build transistors so small that more than 300 of them can fit on a red blood cell. The physical constraints are profound. Some of the connectors between components are made by gas and are just an atom thick. So, where to go from there? Well, here's an example. Intel uses light to test chips, and it dawned on engineers like Mario Paniccia, who heads the Photonic Technology Lab at Intel, that lasers might be harnessed to do more than find defects.
If we can send infrared light through silicon to measure transistors, what if I could take silicon and send communication data through it and now do everything we do today, route, modulate, encode, to build optical components using silicon and the transmission properties of silicon? And that evolution over the last couple of years has led to this program today, which we call silicon photonics.
Although laser-based chips are years away, scientists are still coming up with just-in-time innovations to build new processors that keep Moore's Law on track, which essentially says that the number of transistors on a circuit doubles every 2 years as the cost to make that chip goes down.
10 years ago, many of us wondered whether we would ever get to this point.
Mark Bohr is an Intel senior fellow. He spoke with me at the 45-nanometer lab at Intel's Hillsboro, Oregon campus.
Not only have we gotten to the point, but it probably didn't take us quite as much time as we thought it would have.
Now, when you say it didn't take you quite as much time 10 years ago, how many years were you thinking?
Well, for the past 10 years, Intel has been developing a new generation of process technology every 2 years. Prior to that, in the early 1990s, the pace was more once every 3 years. So we actually have picked up the pace over the past 10 years. And again, to have gotten to this point this quickly is, I think, pretty impressive.
You don't just walk down the street and start making transistors.
Kellen Kuhn is the device manager for the Intel 45-nanometer chip in Hillsboro. She likens chips to jumbo jets. Just as no single person could design and construct a 400-seat plane, chip building requires massive resources and teams of people.
There's many years of technology innovation required. Each technology builds on the previous technology. And if you think about the technology today, if you compare our 45-nanometer technology to the previous technology, what you're basically looking at is a technology that takes about half the area, it's about 20% faster, and it's about one-tenth the leakage of the previous technology. Now keep moving that backwards. Every technology generation before that built on the previous one and built on the previous one. You do that for many, many years, and you can make very intricately small devices.
The newest crop of chips from Intel is the result of some ingenuity. Mark Bohr says scientists are pushing the capabilities of traditional materials such as silicon wafers or polysilicon gate electrodes or thin oxide layers.
But we've been scaling those dimensions, making them much smaller every couple of years. But lately we've been adding new materials to really enhance those transistors to get them to follow Moore's Law. The average consumer would be utterly amazed at the amount of technology, high technology, that's in their computer at home, on their desk, or in their laptop. They could take apart that chip, look inside, they'd be surprised at just how much sophistication, new materials, ultra-small dimensions are in that chip. The average chip may have 200 or 300 million transistors on it.
For PodTech.net, I'm Jason Lopez at Intel's 45-nanometer lab in Hillsboro, Oregon.